All right, we are back. Morning show. John Marks in with the crew. 94 WIP. I'm Organi. Rhea Hughes.
The crew. We're the crew, Rhea.
You were the crew.
Sidecar. We're always sidecar, Al.
That's right.
Yeah. It's all good.
And a shout out to CPAP Nation out there, Al Morgani. Hashtag CPAP Nation. I've been using a CPAP for 6 days now.
What is? I don't even know.
Is that the thing that covers your face?
It's the snoring machine that...
Does it work?
I have to wear. Ah, God, it's a disaster. I Instagrammed out a picture of what I look like. It's John Marks Media if you want to see it.
I'll retweet it at the morning show.
I didn't realize how many people use a CPAP machine until I actually talked about it on the air.
Ah.
And then I got a ton of people that were like, I use it. It's changed my life. You know what? It doesn't change my life. The damn thing ends up on the floor every morning, I've learned so far.
I have no idea. That's the snoring machine. So that's like
you're not a snorer, Al?
No, I don't think so.
You look like a snorer.
Oh, my God. Does your wife still sleep with you?
Yeah.
Oh, dear God.
There you go, Al.
What? Oh, that's awful.
Oh,
so I was
God.
Called.
You look like Bane.
I was called Bane's brother. I don't know what that means because I don't watch those movies,
yeah.
But that's what everybody said about me, Al.
Yeah. The funny thing is you can still tell it's you, which I guess is not good.
So... Everybody told me how refreshed I'd feel in the morning.
How do you feel?
I don't feel any different.
Did you snore?
I was a heavy snorer.
So now that actually did stop it?
Yes, it does.
Are you one of those people that like dies for a minute? Like one of those things? Is that
you
why?
You stop breathing.
Yeah.
Yes, I have mild to moderate sleep apnea. So it wasn't something that they felt was a major issue. It was more of
a lifestyle
problem.
That's not good.
No, it's not good. But it was more of my wife is up all the time because I'm snoring.
So you did this for her. It's a love thing.
Well, yeah, but then I look like this.
Yeah.
So did she want me to look over and I look like this or
yeah.
I snore?
Well, you know, all cats are gray in the dark.
Al's favorite line.
I've never heard you say that.
Oh, God, I've heard it a million times.
I might make it line of the day.
All right.
There you go. I just had a friend, Scott Hartnell, yesterday, went in for a vasectomy and he started tweeting. He says that he was more nervous than the Stanley Cup playoff game. He's a piece of work. He says, I'm going to tweet out about my vasectomy or whatever, and then all of a sudden it stops.
So he live tweeted a vasectomy and then it stopped.
These tweets started tweeting, and then there's no more tweets afterwards. So I guess he's home with a bag of peas right now on his
groin. Oh, that's just awesome. All right, the Miami Heat beat the Celtics last night. And I know Angelo's a big Jimmy Butler fan. I hate Jimmy Butler.
Why do you hate Jimmy Butler?
Because he manipulated Joel Embiid, and he's coming off the court yelling about Tobias Harris.
Whose problem is that? Is that Jimmy Butler's or is that Embiid's problem?
The 76ers, like they made a huge error in letting Jimmy Butler leave. They'd be much better right now with Jimmy Butler than without, and I recognize that. But I mean, that's Joel Embiid's problem. No, I am so annoyed with Joel Embiid right now. We'll have Kyle Newbeck on later on in the show. But Joel Embiid, after losing on the home court, he rips Harden, and he wasn't lying about Harden. He rips Harden, and then he's waxing poetically about Jimmy Butler, and, oh, I don't know how we let
him
leave.
That's an Embiid problem.
Yeah, we have an Embiid problem here in Philadelphia.
I mean, that's not Jimmy Butler's problem.
Yeah, I don't like how he left the court screaming about Tobias. Tobias had nothing to do with any of that. And I'm overall tired of Jimmy Butler's act.
If you're pining for your ex-girlfriend, is it the ex-girlfriend's fault or your fault that your wife wants to shoot you?
Well, I mean, I think Embiid and Butler are independent of each other.
Huh?
Right? Like my hate for Butler and my dislike for Embiid's behavior is independent from each other.
So you think Embiid's going to be a baby no matter what the situation?
He's going to be a baby. Yep. He is a baby.
But you have to deal with a baby sometimes if it's the most talented one.
Yeah, I'm not saying to trade him.
They're going to have to learn to deal with it. It might have been best to keep Butler here, but if that's what keeps everything in line, I think you have to keep him. You would have probably had to keep him here.
It would have been better for Butler to be here, but as we stand right now, the problem is Joel Embiid is a huge talent and he plays the center position. And it's difficult to build a team with just your center being the superstar. You need an equally talented wing player, which is, as we know, difficult to find. So what you get is you get Embiid trying to act like a wing player at 7'2" and 280 pounds, and he can't. and the injuries keep happening, and the poor leadership keeps happening, and I'm so sick of it.
Well, by the end of this experiment or whatever.
Process.
I believe that you're going to have a player that is less popular than Ben Simmons. And his name's Harden.
Oh.
Somehow, you're going to have moved the least popular player ever and replaced them with the least popular player ever. It's unbelievable.
Dribble, fat.
No, I don't think enough has been made
of how awful
of
he
how
was.
How horrible he was and his reaction afterwards. And this expectation by the general manager that it's just going to get better and it was a hamstring. I'm like, I'm not thinking.
Yeah, but Tina, does he really believe that?
It's 2 years of the hamstring. Aren't we there? Yeah. Aren't we there?
No,
two
but
years?
like forget about the hamstring. Like he just is what he is at this point, and he's not a horrible player.
Well, we're told that's not what he is, though, that he's going to get a lot better when he's had more time to fit in with the team.
No, I know, but these guys say stuff all the time just because that they have to say, right? Like he said Doc Rivers is coming back. Is Doc Rivers actually coming back? I don't think it's as cut and dry that Doc Rivers is coming back.
I do a terrific job, and if you don't.
But if he wavers on if Doc Rivers is coming back, then that becomes an issue. He answered the question appropriately. It doesn't necessarily mean he meant what he said. So if he actually believes that James Harden is a difference-making player, then we're in big trouble. Because that means he's going to sign up to a long-term contract. And I can't imagine anybody that watched James Harden would actually do that.
I'm at the point where I think a one-year deal is a long-term contract with what I saw with him. I mean, that 1 year with Embiid.
1 year is still painful.
Well, yes.
So here's my thing on Harden and going forward with the Sixers. I don't want him here at all. But if you think that James Harden and his personality and how he acted after that game, and probably more importantly, how he acted during the game.
During the game, the turnover and just kind of standing there.
But he gave up.
Wow.
He gave up. Yes. But Embiid comes out after the game and says, oh, we thought we were getting Houston Harden. How do you think Harden feels about that? That's when it is over. Because Embiid feels like that, and you know how Harden's going to feel about that. You bring him back, you think everything's going to be fine and kosher. It's not. It's not. It's a disaster.
All right, Stan Hockman.
It is an absolute disaster. And unless you can get a guy like Bradley Beal or something like that, I don't know what you're going to do. All right, we have the wheel today. Let's take some phone calls here. We're looking for food and drink faux pas. John in Center City. John, what do you got? How are you?
Hey, how we doing, everybody?
All right. What's up?
I wanted to speak about the game last night and how interested Andy Ellisberg is in acquiring Tobias Harris or James Harden from Miami. He's the general manager nobody knows about, who put all of this string of no-name fits, with the exception of Jimmy Butler, on the Heat. But Daryl Morey tells us that, he's learning a lot from Doc Rivers. Well, if he saw last night's adjustments at halftime, I hope he did, because that's a professional coach making professional adjustments, making Boston just a little bit uncomfortable.
Boston had something like, 46 points in the paint in the first half and 6 in the second?
Adjustment, yeah.
Right, and not only that, they you watch his how he tells personnel, Tatum is a little uncomfortable taking a hop in his to the left-hand side. He does things that Doc Rivers couldn't dream of. Doc Rivers, his recipe is to wave his hand in a circular motion to tell the team to rev up energy, and they don't. It's amazing to watch the team last night. And these guys like Eric Spoelstra, I didn't even know this. He's a $3 million a year coach. Do you think Doc Rivers is leaving Philly? Gets $8 million. He ain't leaving.
No.
Daryl Morey, is he leaving? $10
million?
Andy Ellisberg at Miami doesn't even make $2 million a year. He's not. These guys are this. We're stuck with these guys because of the front office decisions. We're really, really in a bad spot. Nobody's looking to hire to scoop James Harden away from the Sixers. So sooner and the more effortlessly you can get away from him, the better off the team will be. And the sooner you get away from Doc Rivers and Daryl Morey, who are supposed to assess personnel and make coaching changes and adjustments, the better off we'll be. I don't see it happening within 5 years.
Did you have a food or drink faux pas, John?
I'm a season ticket holder who may give up my tickets this year. I'm so frustrated.
Oh, yeah. Whoa.
Wow.
There you go. All right. Well, thank you, John. Appreciate it.
Yeah, I don't think
they're going to hurt for tickets. That is one thing I don't think they're going to have an issue with. I actually don't think that they're people that are really into it, like the people with season tickets. He's the first one I've really heard that are thinking like that, because they are interesting all the time. I don't hear
not a lot of outrage about from 70 no, from, that the, was from the hardcore that, 76
yeah, and that's
fan.
That's one of the first that I've really, I'm good for him to feel that way. But I think most people look at it and say, we had a hell of a time down there this year. It was a party all the time, and then a crash landing again.
Really? You think that?
It is. I got to say, I mean, you get down there, I mean, it's for most nights, it really is a night event at full
and
entertainment.
You think they're able to just sweep out the fact that 2 years in a row they've
gone out in
the second round.
Yeah, and in the second round, it happens again. I guess you look at the future. And mind you, I'm not that big on – I mean, if Miami manages to pull this off, I mean, I think last night Boston was really shorthanded.
Well, they were. They didn't have Horford. They didn't have Smart.
And Smart's like Jimmy Butler, right?
Yeah, but you'd look at Spoelstra, the stuff he does in the third. I would love to go see what their numbers are in the third quarter.
But, I mean, if it turns out Miami is the real deal, if it isn't, you look at the two teams that have knocked out the Sixers. I mean,
Atlanta.
Really.
And you've got two undrafted. You got a backcourt of two undrafted guys. Vincent.
You had two teams that wanted to win more than you did, and were willing and looked at the Sixers and said they're soft. We can beat this team.
Not super teams. I mean, it's one thing if you're getting knocked out every year. Like there's a super team. Yeah. You can't beat the Lakers when they're really. You can't beat the Cavs. Can't whomever. This is not the case.
This is not the case. No. Ava Graham. Hello. Good morning.
Hello. Good morning, John. So I got the update on the question brought to you by Armin Cadillac. Be the first to place your order for the 2023 Cadillac Lyric from Armin on May 19th. Call Armin Cadillac or shop 24/7 at ArminCadillac.com. Will Bryce Harper finish the season? 71% say yes.
There you go.
Mm. Yeah, it does feel like that.
DH?
Really doesn't feel like that. But DH.
Concerned.
He's not going to be playing right field this year. I know the GM or the assistant GM yesterday said that, maybe in a couple months he can see the grass.
By the way, the grass looked very nice last night.
Oh, yes. Yeah,
not
the
what they played on
they
top
put the
of
bell.
It.
They put the bell out there.
So you like the bell emblem?
I did like the bell emblem. It was pretty cool. I got to say, they kind of screwed up on top of it, as Rhea said. But it was a nice look down there.
I would have went for no emblem and a couple home runs.
Well, yeah. Well, but I mean, I liked it. I kind of thought it would look pretty cool.
So is that going to be there for the
I don't know. Maybe they'll keep changing from week to week. God knows. They'll probably put an ad in the grass.
Maybe they should change it so starkly the Phillies won't think they're at home, and maybe they'll play better.
I'm headed down on Sunday.
Yeah.
To the game. First game that my kids are going to.
Oh, nice. Got to buy the ice cream.
Cotton candy, ice cream helmet.
That ice cream in the helmet is the best.
It's the best.
That's Show to Camera's best. Favorite. Like, you can take that over any food.
Oh, ever. No, it's so good.
Well, he is a child.
He certainly is. All right, coming up, Ross Tucker on everything NFL.
He's insisting, by the way, when I spoke to Ross yesterday, that he must be asked a Sixers question.
And I have one for him. He is a former basketball star in high school.
Was he?
Ross Tucker, yes.
It's an interesting dude.
There's also, when analyzing the schedule for the Eagles, the Eagles kind of got screwed with something.
Oh, and he's a foodie.
Oh, do you ever see the picture of his refrigerator, the beer in it?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
We got to ask him about what's a food foul
food
that he does.
I'm sure he's got a full list.
Yeah.
A lot of fun with Ross Tucker. That's coming up next. Morning Show with John Marks.
We all know that finding a new vehicle might be tough right now due to low inventory levels and some dealers charging over MSRP for the vehicles. Well, not my friends at Lexus of Cherry Hill. They have over 200 new cars available with over $2 million in pre-owned inventory. Lexus of Cherry Hill, a four-time consecutive J.D. Power Dealer of Excellence winner for the customer sales experience. What this means is Ed Sunday and his team will guide you through the process and make it the smoothest buying or leasing experience. Lexus of Cherry Hill has over 200 new vehicles to fall in love with. Go reserve your car now. More are on their way. Visit them online at lexusofcherryhill.com and on Route 73 in Mount Laurel. Lexus of Cherry Hill, where the finest automobiles reside. Brought to you by the goodwill of Southern New Jersey and Philadelphia.
No balls and two strikes on Robinson Cano. Nobody out. Runner at first. The pitch. Swung on. Lined to the left. There's the base hit. And Schwarber boots it. It goes under his glove and goes all the way to the wall. Around third, Myers. He's coming around. He'll be waved to the plate. No relay by Stott. And a single by Cano and an error in left for Schwarber. And it's 2-0 San Diego.
Scott Fransky with the call as the Padres would go on to shut out the Phillies 3-0. Schwarber had that error, also struck out four times. On a night no one pretty much did anything offensively for the Phils, just five hits. Game one of the Eastern Conference Finals went to the Heat. Miami used a 39-14 third quarter. Take care of the Celtics, 118-107. Jimmy Butler, 41 points. Time for spring cleaning. Clear out closets, drawers, and the garage. Find a donation center at goodwillnj.org. NBC 10 First Alert Forecast brought to you by Dr. Glatt. Mostly sunny, a high of 75. It's currently 57. Failing or thinning hair? Call the region's premier hair restoration expert for men and women, Dr. Paul Glatt. Book a consultation at drglatt.com. To stream 94WIP, tell your smart speaker to play 94WIP.
We're back, morning show, John Marks and the crew here on WIP as our buddy Ross Tucker joins us of the Even Money podcast, the pride of why we're missing Pennsylvania. What's up, Ross? How are you?
John, I'm fantastic. How about yourself? Good to talk with me. I don't get a chance to talk to you very often.
I know. I have to listen to you on national shows and the morning show to get my Ross Tucker football fix and all the podcasts you do as well.
Well, it's nice. It's not, you know, I do a lot with Joe and John. Obviously, I do even more with Angelo and Rhea and Al. It's nice to talk with you. I never talk to Ike except for the pregame show.
Yeah, well, we should change that, Ross Tucker. We should
change
that.
Hey, I'm ready.
He's
I'm
ours.
Ready
you can't
are.
Have him.
Yeah, see, that's part of the problem. They're very territorial, Ross. They don't like to allow their guys to go. Yeah.
You know what's amazing about that, John?
Yeah.
If Angelo did a show about how territorial Angelo's show is, he would say Angelo's not a good teammate, not the kind of guy we want to have here in Philadelphia, because he doesn't care about the team and having WIP's ratings be as high as possible. Because really, John, if we're being honest, if it's really about WIP and the ratings, I mean, you guys would have me on every day part.
Right. Well, see, but listen, like, isn't it a little Tom Brady-ish where he's just like he is so focused on winning, and that's something Tom Brady would do, right?
You know what? You know what? That comes back to me. That's like the movie Wall Street where Michael Douglas says greed is good.
Yeah.
You know, Angelo making sure he's got the best for his show so his ratings are number one every
year. Okay, we can stop this because I still have to work with the man every day. And literally, he's getting emails right now that I'm allowing this to happen.
Yep, it's on you, Rhea. All right.
When are you on, Ross?
Yeah.
All right, so the schedule comes out. Give them a win, give them a loss. You analyze the schedule. You chopped it up. You slice it up. How do you view it there, Ross?
Well, first of all, I don't do that.
Well, I didn't ask for wins or losses, but just in general.
No, I know. And I do. Look, I get it. It's funny because I think every Eagles beat writer did exactly that. Like, 11-6, 10-7, you know, and that's fine. That's kind of what the fans want. So I totally get it. You know, it's interesting because I had Warren Sharp, who I have a lot of respect for, on the Even Money podcast yesterday. That's the betting one. And he was really hot about the Eagles having four short week road games, the most in the NFL. I'm sure you guys have talked about it, but they've got four road games where they have a short week, and that's obviously not ideal. The thing is, though, they still have one of the five easiest schedules when you look at their actual opponent. So, and that's formulaic. We know that. We knew that as soon as the season ended that the Eagles would have one of the easiest schedules. So maybe it's balanced out a little bit by them having these four short week road games. But I don't know, man. I go on stations all around the country. Everybody has something they can complain about with the schedule.
Yeah.
I'm not, you know what I don't like about it? I'm not a big fan of excuses. I'm not a big fan of complaining. Like, I really don't care win 10 games or more and win the division, because I really think they can do that.
There hasn't been a repeat division winner in almost 20 years. The Cowboys seemingly have taken a step back on offense and as a team. Do you agree with that, Ross?
Absolutely agree with that. I mean, how could you anyone argue that losing Lyle Collins, losing Amari Cooper, you know, losing Randy Gregory, how could you argue that the Cowboys are better this year? I mean, now listen, they might play better and maybe they'll have the same record or better, but I think objectively it's hard to look at them and say they're better. And here's the thing I would say about the Cowboys. I don't think it gets talked about enough. They're going to look back on the last 5 years and realize what a total blown opportunity it was for them. I mean, think about it. They had, if not the best offensive line, one of the top five offensive lines for the last 8 years or so. And now Tyron Smith is getting up there in years. Zach Martin, probably not quite as good. Collins is gone. Travis Frederick, the center, retired. They had Zeke on a rookie contract. They had Dak on a rookie contract. They had Amari and CeeDee Lamb. I mean, has anybody ever done less with more? They won one playoff game with all of these guys
prime. What do you think is the common denominator? Is it because of the coaching that they've had over the span of those years?
I think it's twofold, Rhea. I think it's they've had poor coaching with both Garrett and Mike McCarthy. Yep. I think it's bigger than that, though. You know, I played there. There is a general lack of accountability, lack of responsibility. I mean, you realize they, again, this year, took a defensive end whose off-the-field issues are off the charts. The kid they took in the second round from Ole Miss, Sam Williams, his off-the-field stuff was about as bad as anybody in this draft. And for them to do that after all the issues they had with Randy Gregory and all the other guys, you know, over the years, Greg Hardy, I mean,
They keep doing it.
They always have multiple guys, and I just don't think – I don't think you win with those guys. And what? I think after the playoff loss, Rhea, all that McCarthy and Dak talked about was the refs.
Yeah.
It's like, are you guys – like, that would be – for most of the good coaches I played for, Marty Schottenheimer, Parcells,
you
Gibbs,
keep that in-house. You complain about that in-house, not on –
that
not
would be totally unacceptable. And yet it's the coach and the quarterback doing it.
It's
a sign of weakness.
The thing is I think they're fine with it. It was a very revealing, conversation that Jerry Jones had with Peter King, in which he, you know, many years ago when the Cowboys were having all kinds of off-the-field trouble, and he was speaking to, I think it was the head of Fox, that he was going to crack down on these guys, and they were like, you guys are ratings gold. No, it's, you know, bad publicity. Any publicity is good publicity, even bad. So I think that's the mindset they have down there.
Jerry Jones said it a million times. And I think when you look, it's interesting. They've made so many poor financial decisions. The Zeke contract.
Mm-hmm.
And then waiting to give Dak the contract. And it puts them in a position where they got to get rid of Lyle Collins. They got to get rid of Amari Cooper. The weird thing, too, and I don't know if I ever told you guys this story, because I saw where Jerry Jones said they're worth $10 billion. I really think they want to win. I really do. I am not sure. Like, I am convinced for Jeffrey Lurie, the winning is way more important than the finance. Look, he wants to make as much money as possible, but he really puts it into the team. I think for the Cowboys, that's about a 50-50 split.
It's a brand. It's their brand.
And the thing, I don't know if I ever told you guys this story, but I played for five teams, okay? The Cowboys were the only team that charged for lunch. I swear to God. Think about this. NFL team, okay? They would payroll deduct from your paycheck.
How much?
$150 a week
for
lunch. And it was garbage, Rhea. It was like fried chicken and mashed potatoes.
Lunch down at the NovaCare Complex, I've had it. It's fantastic.
It's incredible.
Ross loves it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I said to the finance guy, I'm like, what is this $150 come out of my check every week? Because I got signed midway through the year. Here they go. That's for lunch. I'm like, lunch? I said, well, what if I, $150? I'm like, what if I just make a turkey and cheese sandwich on wheat at my house and bring it in? He was like, I don't know. Nobody's ever asked that before. And then how about this, okay? I started 7 games in 2002, played okay, whatever. Parcells comes in, he cuts me. I say to them, you know, I'd like to keep my helmet. You know, I started 7 games. It's a Cowboys helmet. It's kind of cool. I started for you guys. And the equipment guy was like, yeah, the only thing is, Ross, Jerry looks at that as his equipment, so I'm going to have to payroll deduct you $300 from my last paycheck, from my $800 mini camp paycheck, which, you know, okay, people might listening might be like, okay, that's his property. That's fine. I played for 5 teams. It's the only team that charged my helmet. So when Jerry Jones says that they're worth $10 billion, I believe it because his EBITDA must be off the charts. If he's still charging the players for lunch and their helmet. By the way, somebody tweeted me and said, I bet you Troy Aikman didn't have to pay for his helmet, Ross. And I was like, yeah, he's probably right. But anyway, that's the type of stuff. Like, they watch every penny. And that's fine. That's his business. But that just
goes
to show
you. That's how rich people get richer.
Yes, that just goes to show you the making money part of it is a very
important
part of the Cowboys.
No, I agree. Ross Tucker, his football podcast, the Even Money Podcast. We're discussing gambling, etc. Ross, I know you were a big basketball star in high school. Listen to this, Al. 16.1 points a game as a senior, 9.8 rebounds, 24 three-pointers as a senior, Ross. Wow. Excellent work.
At 250 pounds, by the way.
You could have played at Princeton. You would have made a difference.
You know what's so funny about that? My uncle, after my freshman year, called me and was like, so you're not getting much playing time, are you? I'm like, what are you talking about? I started like 4 games as a freshman defensive end. He's like, no, I've been reading all the basketball box scores. I'm like, I'm not playing basketball. I'm like, you know how good those guys are? They were top 10 in the country my freshman year. I was like,
wow.
No. But the funny part about that, John, not that anybody cares, but I was a real, real late bloomer. So by my senior year, I was 6'4", 250, and they tried to make me go down low. I sucked. I was terrible. Like, kids that were 6 foot were swatting me because I had no low. My whole game was like a point guard and shooting threes.
You were like Embiid.
No, yes. They call me, Rhea, I still have the audio because if the other team would press us, I would bring the ball up and break the press by, like, dribbling around everybody. I went to a small high school. I'm 6'4", 250. So the local radio guys in Reading call me the Dancing Bear,
which my
buddies love. But anyway.
So you were the biggest guy, so they made you the center.
Right. So, like, ninth grade, 5'9", 150. 10th grade, 6'1", 175. Junior year, 6'3", 210. So I wasn't like a down low guy until my senior year. And they're like, oh, dude, you're the biggest kid. Just go down there and kill everybody. I'm like, I don't know how to do that. Nobody ever taught me how to do that. I was way better if you just put me like out in the perimeter against some big stiff than I could go. And by the way, that's those are the guys that make the NFL, right? It's like you have the agility and body control to be a guard, but then you end up being really big.
Right.
By the way, I knew that the Sixers were going to lose that series probably midway through game 4.
Really?
Why?
Well, because the Heat were tougher, both mentally and physically.
Yep.
The Heat played harder. The Heat were better coached. The only, you know, think about, like, I can't remember if it was game 3 or game 4, but it was still a pretty close game, even though the Heat couldn't make a three to save their life. And Danny Green was making
everything
three.
Yeah.
Tyrese Maxey was making every three. Harden started making every, like, step-back three. But it was still a fairly close game.
They got it down to 5 a couple times late in the fourth.
Yeah, and I said to my father-in-law, yeah, I'm like, the Sixers have no shot in this. He's like, what do you mean? Like, we've won, you know, two. I'm like, they just outshot them in three-point range by like 40% and still
didn't really
it was
matter.
Still a pretty close game. And that's the thing that bothered me the most about it. I think we're all on the same page here. It really – I don't like when the Sixers lose, and I had high hopes after they got Harden. But what really bothers me is when the team that beats them is tougher and plays harder. Because I feel like that goes against everything that we believe in. You know, like, I'd much rather lose, but they're just more talented.
Yeah.
But we play harder, and we're more physical. that was not the case at all. I mean,
isn't that the MO of this team now?
Yes.
You watch Adebayo covering Embiid, like he wanted
it.
Jimmy Butler, they wanted it. Who are the Sixers guys that you're like, wow, look how hard he plays, look how physical he is. I don't like watching them play. Like, I like watch Maxi, but yeah. I just wish they don't really have, you know, I grew up with like Mahorn and Moses Malone.
They don't have
Barkley.
A nasty player.
No, they don't have anybody that you're afraid. They don't have anybody that's like a kick ass. Like, they just don't have that guy.
No. I want to ask you one quick question before you go. I saw this on Front Office Sports that more women are joining sports betting apps at a faster rate than men. More than 4.6 million women joined sports betting apps in 2021. Why do you think that is?
I really don't know. I will say this, Rhea. Any suggestion I make, I feel like there's a gender. I feel like I could get in trouble.
Oh no, I'm just curious. Like I'm on it. Like, I'm having a lot of fun with it, and but I do like $20 here, $20. I was startled by that number that more than 4.6 million women. I'm not trying to get you in trouble. I was just
I'll
a lot of betting stuff, so I was curious.
No, I'll submit to you three possibilities. Okay. You can tell me if any of them make sense.
Sure.
One would be that more men had already signed up or
already on it. Yeah, that makes sense.
Number two would be, I don't know a better way to say this, but that women are more susceptible to advertising. I don't know if that's the case, but the advertising has really increased over the last year or two.
Okay.
And maybe that susceptible is not the right word, but more likely to engage because of advertising. Like, if you look at any of the Facebook advertising, the women.
I pay attention to advertising. I'm not.
Oh,
yeah. Fine.
Yeah.
I mean, I do.
Women engage at a much higher rate. The last one is that, again, all of these, I feel like there's going to be some women. I mean, like, they're going to take it the wrong way. But
you think I'm trying to get you in trouble?
No, I know you're not. But so maybe for women, it helps them to be more engaged with the sporting event they're watching.
I think it helps everybody.
Yeah. But here's the thing: I want to make something very clear. Like, I know a ton of amazing female fans. Like, amazing. Yeah. So when I say something like that, I feel like I'm going to get a tweet at Ross Tuckerville being like, I don't need betting to watch the Sixers, Ross. Thanks a lot.
No, Ross, I will tell you, going back, my mother loves sports. That's who I got it from. But she will tell you that back in the 50s, she got tired of being left out and told my dad to teach her football because she wanted to. And now she's like, been watching it forever. So but I saw a funny line in one of the tweet comments underneath. It was, it's guys telling their wives or girlfriends to get the account and bet the other side so they both have a chance to win. Which I thought was fun.
I am amazed by it, though, Rhea, because
that's a lot of women.
You know what I think it indicates? Yeah. I think it indicates that there's a lot more women sports fans than people realize.
Yes.
I would love to know, like, what your numbers are in the morning or on WIP. I think there's a lot. I notice it on my podcast. There's a lot more women listeners and viewers than I guess I think when I'm talking into the microphone.
Yeah, because your demo is men. Yeah.
There he is. That's why they call him the Dancing Bear.
Yep.
He dances around that
and he's
question.
A woman magnet.
And the Dancing Bear, he smiled and said, well, he didn't say much.
Appreciate it, Ross.
Absolutely. See you guys. Have a great day.
There he is.
I was not trying to get him. John, you and I were talking about it yesterday. Yep. I said that those numbers blew me away.
It's if you're a sports fan, it's almost impossible if you live in a state that has the betting like we all do. It's possible to avoid it, and it really does. It used to be like fantasy football. I don't even know if it exists anymore for a lot of people because now you can bet.
I was a massive Joe Wechter and I were in a league. I was massive 20 years ago. I don't even do that anymore because you know what? That's too involved.
Yeah,
betting you throw $20 bucks on something and you just watch the game.
It's a lot easier. Yeah. All right, 215-592-9494. We ran out of time with the food and drink faux pas with Ross, but we got to get some involvement on the phone lines here. It's Wheel Wednesday, Al Morgani.
We got to get some mistakes that you make. Well, not mistakes. You might think it's great. Everybody else thinks a mistake.
Yeah.
Like the way you eat peanut butter and jelly or whatever.
How do you eat peanut butter and jelly?
I don't like the jelly part of it.
You don't? I take a spoon and I put a spoonful of peanut butter and then I'll eat some of the peanut butter and then I'll put the rest of the spoon in the jelly jar.
Oh, that's just a nice thing.
No. Then I can't. It's a spoon. I'm eating it. I don't want the bread. I'm just eating it. Why don't we use a knife? It's a spoon.
You eat off a knife? I do that
soup.
All the time.
It's peanut butter and jelly. You're eating it like soup?
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of people just scoop it out.
When you have yogurt, you use a knife?
Well, no. Well, it depends. Sometimes they run out of spoons at the place.
I know.
I do that all the time.
I do that here.
That's all we have here is knives. You would think this was a circus where they're throwing knives because there's no forks. There's like 5,000 knives.
I bring my own.
All right. We have Wheel Wednesday food and drink faux pas. Coming up, we have Kevin Stocker at 8 o'clock talking Phillies. Don't go anywhere.
Your cooling and heating system has powered through the winter, keeping your home comfortable no matter the weather. Call Horizon Services to give your system a well-earned spring break. Horizon will ensure it's working efficiently, ready for the summer, which is going to come faster than you think if you looked at what the weather is going to be like on Saturday. First, book a spring AC tune-up for just $79 and give your system the refresh it needs. Then lock in a heater tune-up in the fall for only $59. Plus, each service will be completed the same day as their confirmed appointments, or it's free. That's right, free. Horizon's experts will perform a multi-point AC tune-up now to keep your family comfortable all summer long. Plus, have your home ready for seasons to come with a heater tune-up in the fall. Let Horizon give your home the care it deserves. Call 800-999-1995 or visit horizonservices.com/easybook to book in 30 seconds.
All right, morning show. We are back, John Marks and the crew, with you, Kevin Stocker, coming up top of the hour.
Yep.
Phillies lose last night in unspectacular fashion.
Boring fashion, yes.
Oh, man, yeah. One hit in the first six innings, five for the game, poor defense. I mean, so the positives from it. Zach Eflin looked good last night.
Yeah, for not having pitched since May 1st.
Yeah. Look good. The bad is more bad bullpen. I mean,
James Norwood had no business coming in a one-run game off a fresh bullpen. I mean, seriously. Could I talk to the binder instead of Joe Girardi? I mean, my God. I when he put him in, I went, well, I can go to bed now.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, it was a frustrating game. Kevin Stocker on that and David West, I don't know how much you guys talked about this, but David West passed.
Yeah, we did. We had because Ruben Amaro was a teammate of his,
yeah.
And I had first seen it when Ruben had tweeted it out, and we talked to him when he called into the show on Monday, but a little bit more at length yesterday. That the fact that now it's not a coincidence that more than six players have developed brain cancer and died.
Which is, if you look at the general public and the percentage of people that develop brain cancer as opposed to Phillies players that played during the veteran stadium era, significantly higher to where, like, you're right, Ray. You said it's not a coincidence anymore. There's something there.
No, and Ruben said, because Angelo said, are you concerned? And he said, I'm, growing concerned.
Hell
and
yeah.
I'm probably going to go, have the doctor get a look under the hood. Hugh Douglas is here. He's broadcasting out of one of our studios. For his Atlanta show, because he's been up for Brian Dawkins' golf outing, and just posted a very cool picture of Ike Reese, Hollis, a couple other players in there. But I said to him, I said, how long did you play on that vet turf? And we were looking it up, so it was 98 to 2002, so
right,
4 years.
Yes,
was the link open. Mm-hmm. And I said, are you familiar with what's going on with that? And he goes, no. And then I told him, he goes, oh, well, thanks for that information.
Right. Now, so, they practiced on the vet turf. And they also played, obviously, preseason games, regular season games. When you think about the amount of games that that era Philly player played on that kind of astroturf.
So many.
So it's not only Veteran Stadium. You played a ton of games against the Pirates in Three Rivers.
Mm-hmm.
You played a ton of games against the Reds in Riverfront.
All the same stadiums.
Yeah. I mean, really, outside of – I mean, how many stadiums actually had natural grass during that era? It was like AstroTurf was the thing.
Yeah.
Right? So
and it was AstroTurf. It wasn't this new stuff. It
no,
was AstroTurf.
Exactly. And there's a lawsuit in California that's going on right now from the, I believe it's the Attorney General's office in California, and the more or less what it's saying is that this AstroTurf had substances that were toxic.
Yeah, all the rubber stuff that they used.
Ruben said it was so hot in the summer sometimes they would come off and come into the dugout and they had some kind of contraption that they would put their feet on. Because it was like their spikes were going to melt.
We're melting, yeah. It got that hot. I mean, Dutch used to talk about catching on a Saturday or Sunday in July and August that it would be almost like I almost can't be out there. It's so hot. Like, it is too hot for a human to be out on that field. So so we'll talk to Stocker kind of about that and obviously the Phillies as well. All right, couple phone calls here, and we're spinning the wheel. Did you have a food faux pas that you shared out? You don't seem like you have a lot of food faux pas. You just
he's
seafood,
got a big
food.
One.
I eat plain stuff. I don't like condiments.
He
like
doesn't
usually.
Put mayo on a club sandwich or bacon.
I like the regular the luncheon meat.
Turkey and bread.
Yeah.
How do you get it down?
I eat it.
No, but you have to drink water, a gallon of water with
tea.
It.
It's a little dry. You know, thing of ice
tea.
Yeah,
so I'm sorry. Are you having to massage your neck to get
it
down? You're talking
about
toast and turkey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And no.
I don't usually get toast.
No lubrication. You use regular bread?
Yeah, like the roll that they give you at Wawa. What do you call it? The mini? What do you call that? The shorty?
Well, that's not a turkey club. That's a turkey hoagie.
Well, without the hoagie.
All right. Okay, but if you eat a club sandwich on toast. You have to eat it on toast. How do you swallow it?
With your mouth.
It's dry, Al.
That's the
point.
You drink iced tea. I don't like mayonnaise. I use honey mustard. I do like that.
You like
and more
mustard.
Things are coming with honey mustard. I love when you ask for a side of something. I'd never understood this. Huh? If you ask for like a side of honey mustard, they give you like a pint. It's unbelievable to me. Like the and butter, like how they throw that on.
You know why?
Why? But they're gonna have it's waste. It's just waste.
Yeah, they don't care. They don't want to come back. So if the more they give you, the less they have to come back.
It's ridiculous.
Yes, too much labor.
Too much labor.
You are the laziest person.
No, so do you go back to the kitchen to get the honey mustard?
Because
that's what you're doing when you butter your own toast.
Nobody can use this much. It's crazy. It's
any small business owner would go crazy. Like when someone gives you a napkins that could last you a year at your house, it's like if you own that place, you're like, what the hell are you doing? You give them three napkins, goodbye.
Yeah, really. And I hate when they get ketchup and they give you a little container of it.
As opposed to packets.
I know... It's going back to the old days, but why can't you just have those things—the yellow one and the red one—that you put on the ketchup and the mustard, like the woman waitress picture on it? You know, just that instead of like a little dish to put ketchup.
It is
on.
Fancy. They give you the little stainless steel dish with the ketchup.
It's stupid. And fries, I like with the vinegar. The malt vinegar.
I do like
salt
fries
vinegar.
With, that's very good.
Yeah, but those fries have to be cooked in peanut oil correctly, and they have to be cooked at the right temperature.
Huh?
Well, I worked at a French fry place at the Delaware shore, the Delaware beach, for 2 summers. All right, Thrasher's French Fries.
Thrasher's French
Fries.
Yes,
it's big down there in Rehoboth in Ocean City, Maryland.
Oh.
So I know I've eaten a ton of vinegar and salt French fries. Delicious.
Yeah, and if you get fish and chips, it has to come in newspaper.
And it doesn't taste good with ketchup, and I love ketchup, but you can't eat those fries with ketchup.
Really? You're a French fry expert.
I am.
Wow.
One of my
finally, something you know about.
I know more about fries and cheesesteaks than sports. That's for sure. Steve in Egg Harbor Township. Stevie, what do you got, babe? What up?
Yeah, how you doing? Yeah, Jimmy Butler, does he show you why we never should have traded this guy last night? I really believe the Sixers would have won an NBA championship if we had this guy. I mean, he's just the ultimate player. And, you know, I never wanted James Harden. I still say the trade, if we could have gotten him, was, who Indianapolis got. Halliburton and Hield would have been great for our team. We could have... Yeah. Put them on the bench with Drummond and had them as our 6-7-8 with Shea coming off the bench. We could have had a really respectable bench if he had done that.
Yeah, he didn't, unfortunately.
More of a chance to win.
Yeah, hindsight in this case is, man, Man, if we knew then what we know now, James Harden wouldn't be as. But you know what? Daryl Morey is obsessed with James Harden. Do you remember that embrace and hug that he gave when he met him, the Learjet that brought him into town from Brooklyn? I mean, why did he need a Learjet from Brooklyn? Anyway, the big hug, and he's got a picture in his office of Harden that's in view of where he was doing the Zoom call that I saw. So, like, we're screwed, Steve.
Yeah, we are, because, you know, we would have made it so much younger. I mean, he'll 25. Halliburton, 24, 23? I mean, we would have been young.
Anybody but James
Harden. Up and coming with Maxie? I mean, Jesus. I mean, and for Ben Simmons and two first-rounders, I really believe we would have got those guys.
Yeah. Did you have a food and drink faux pas here, Stevie?
No, but I just want to say one thing real quick when Aria was saying that Tucker. My wife loves competing with me, and that's why she got her own little thing on FanDuel, and makes it fun when we go to the racetrack or whatever like that, when we do things like that, because she picks horses by color. She's a cake decorator, and she'll sit there. Oh, that jockey's wearing purple and pink. I want him, and he'll be 90-1. And you know what? Every once in a while, she'll hit one.
Yeah, like the Kentucky Derby.
Like the Kentucky Derby,
thanks,
exactly.
Steve.
I like
appreciate
that.
It.
Yeah, it's fun.
Yeah.
It is fun.
Yeah, I mean, and
it's $20, and you can win. I told these guys I did one during the Sixers that it was pick the total point. Like, I don't just pick, you know, head-to-head, like, who's going to win.
Did you do parlays?
I missed a great parlay on the night where Joel Embiid had 24 points. If he'd had 25, I would have won 850.
Oh, man,
I missed it by one point.
Ray,
yes.
You've been crushing it, though.
But I have been, like, there was the one combined points I picked between 181 and 190, and I think the combined points was 188, 210. So I'm doing, you know, but I only threw out my thing is $20. I threw $20 on a couple of them, and I hit.
Mm. There you go. Al, you hitting?
I like watching what happens, and I find that I find it fascinating what's happened with gambling. It's changed the dynamics of a lot of expectations. It's really weird.
It's changed everything.
It's really weird on how you go into a game. I honestly think that MVP vote with Embiid was
influenced
by gambling. I think that I don't understand how there are odds on that change, because the votes are private. I mean, unless you want to make it public later. So how do you even have odds on what's going on? You're not a voter.
Well, if there's a ton of money that's coming in on one side, the books are just trying to protect themselves from getting beat too
bad. But I think as a voter, as you saw it, you changed your vote.
Yeah.
I think it affected
it. I mean,
it.
I don't disagree with that. Kevin Stocker on the Phillies is coming up right after this. We'll take some phone calls as well coming up in the 8 o'clock hour, 215-592-9494. It's John Marks in the morning.